Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. You're listening to the Best of the Stuff Podcast Show. So you guys should be proud of me. How much of a challenge it is, you know, for you to go into Target and not spend more than $100. It is possible. It rarely happens, but when it does, I consider that a life milestone. And yeah, it happened. I had to go last week. I was talking about my awesomely amazing candle, Bonfire Nights, that I picked up from Target. And I went there and I picked up, I was going to look for the same size. And then I messed around here and found a bigger one, y'all. It had 3 wicks in it. The last one I had only had 1 wick. This one had 3. And it crackles the same as it burns. And this was 3 times the crackle. I mean, it felt like I had a fireplace up in this piece. It was amazing. And my house, again, still smells masculine. It smells great. It's covering the smell of the feet here. it's a great smelling candle. It's great. And now that it's bigger, I think I'm hoping that this one will take a longer time to burn. I was burning the other candle every single night. It just was good. It was soothing, healing feeling, you know. But I'm going to try to use this one a little bit more sparingly. I'm not going to mess it up. There's a tiny bit of wax left in the other one. And deep down, like low-key, what I really want to do is I want to be ghetto and take the remaining wax from the other one and pour it into the other one, the bigger one. And, you know, a part of my heart is saying that it's not going to work, but I think I'm just going to try it anyway. And just let the disappointment set in. Because most people, I think they just take the wax that, you know, is too low to burn. And they just carve it out and they just chuck it. But I'm not going to do that. This is too delicious of a scent for me to waste. So, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, enough about my candle shenanigans and my Target escapades. Which I'm glad. I walked out of there spending less than $100. It was pretty cool. I felt pretty vindicated, self-fulfilled, even though I am kind of doubting my devotion to Target now because of that, because I've been spending less and less money there lately. I go to Target now for something I absolutely need, because if I go in there with money and no plan, it's over. It's done. I get a Target run and I got money on me, it's over. I'll burn through that money like Swisher Sweets. It is not good, okay? So, anyways. But this week on the Stuff Podcast Show, I wanted to talk about some stuff. Of course, I'm scrolling through Twitter, which is now my primary news feed, my primary thing that I want to talk about, or that I find my content on to talk about. And one of the posts that I came across was of the, I would have to say surprising and overwhelming success of Aquaman. Now, I went and saw Aquaman in the theater, and I will tell you, this movie was so much fun to watch. You know, it was vibrant, full of color, the action was great, the movie was paced well. It has a lot more positives than it does negatives, that's for sure. It's definitely got some negatives now. A lot of things that are forced, which I'll go into in a second. But overall, Aquaman was such a good film. But what I saw was on Twitter was that it beat out The Dark Knight Rises as the highest grossing DC movie ever. And that is pretty cool, because Dark Knight Rises was the one, okay? That movie was dope. I mean, Heath Ledger pulling out Joker and just doing it real big. I mean, it was, that was the movie. Okay. So for this movie, Aquaman, of all superheroes, to beat out Dark Knight Rises, I mean, Aquaman beat Batman, and that is just unheard of. That shouldn't happen technically, but it sure did here, at least in the movie theaters. And I think a large part of it had to do with the visuals of the film. We finally got a DC film that wasn't all dark and broody and, wasn't full of unnecessary drama that is just, dark and brooding. It was just good to have a film that just had fun, didn't take itself too seriously. And was just a good story that was told. I think they did such a good job in telling the story of Aquaman and how he came about his power. They establish a lot of good relationships in the film, especially between Arthur and his father. Arthur being played by Jason Momoa. The guy who played his dad is another well-known actor, Samoan actor. I keep forgetting the dude's name, but he's in all kind of stuff. He was in Power Rangers actually too. He's a Power Rangers actor. And yes, and only I would know that because I love Power Rangers. But yeah, he was in that movie as well, playing Arthur Curry's father. And it did really well. Nicole Kidman in the movie did amazingly well too. It was a lot going on, and it just fit well. It did really, really good. Ocean Master was beyond perfect. In all honesty, I would have to say Ocean Master was probably my favorite character in the movie because he was done so well. And I almost feel like maybe, I think Justin Wan, I think is his name, Wan, Justin Wan, was the director. I almost feel like Ocean Master was his favorite character in the film. He had to be. He was done so perfectly, and he was so comic book accurate that it just, it just. It showed. It showed. It really did. And I mean, it was a impeccable performance. The actor who played him, the whole story behind why he did what he did. I mean, it was just too good. He was just too good. Black Manta, of course, was dope. What little we saw of him, it's funny. We didn't see a lot of Black Manta, but we saw enough to still get a story out of him. And a good beginning and an understanding as to why he was who he became and what his purpose is. And I appreciated that. There is an end credit scene which points to a sequel which was just announced, I believe, yesterday by Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 84, that there will be an Aquaman 2. On a further note, there will be a Wonder Woman 3 and there will be a Justice League 2. It's going to be further down the line, but that's happening. And Henry Cavill may possibly return to play Superman. At this point, as far as Superman's concerned, I mean, nobody else can fill those shoes right now, really. I mean, unless you pull some cat from the country, from another country that just really nail the Superman role and the comic book look of Superman, like Henry Cavill did, he's gonna be so hard to replace. It's like trying to replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. It's like you try to do that. That's just weird. It's just not gonna be right. It's not gonna seem genuine, So, that's what's going on with that. But yeah, there was so much to Aquaman that was so good. My biggest complaint was the relationship between Aquaman and Mera was very forced. And I think with this movie, they felt like they had to do that only because we know at the end they're supposed to be together, the King and Queen of Atlantis. But it was, they tried to do a whole like rom-com scene with National Treasure mixed in there. And it was so rushed and it just felt ill-prepared, I guess. I don't think it was thoroughly thought out. They put it together to where it kind of made sense still, but it was just very rushed and put together hastily, I felt. I never felt any real chemistry between them. I mean, in let me see, what movie was in Justice League, there was no nothing of any kind of chemistry there between the two of them at the beginning. So because there was no inkling of that, there was nothing to fall back on to solidify and justify the connection they had in Aquaman. And I wish they would have done that in pre-preparation. Because, you know, she just resented him for just denying his heritage at first. And then to go from, oh, he totally denied his heritage, oh, now we're on a treasure hunt, so now I like you. It's like, eh. You guys didn't think that through. But that would probably be my biggest gripe. I love the visuals of the movie. The movie's visuals were amazing. The hair freaks me out every time. At first, I was complaining because I was like, oh, they're talking in the water, but they don't have no bubbles. You know, being all sciencey. I needed to stop. I need to stop. That's so small and petty. It was fine. It's fine. In fact, they're Atlanteans, so they get to speak with no bubbles. Even though it makes no sense, they get to do that because they're Atlanteans. And just like they can fly underwater with no, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's whatever. It's not a big deal. It was still a great movie. Excuse the dog. He's like guarding the spot now. Anyway, there was some other things. Oh, the orange and green, y'all. The orange and green suit towards the end of the movie was amazing. It's funny because I never thought that they could actually pull that off. And here we went. They did that. Usually, I was very scared about how they were going to do that. You know, I thought they were going to go really dark with it. I knew they were going to put the orange and green suit in there, but I thought they were really going to dull it down. You know, make it. I apologize again for the dog. I thought they were going to dull it down and, you know, again, going with the dark broody look. They went all kinds of bright with this. And let me tell you something, it looked amazing. He looked so cool coming out of that waterfall with his trident. He looked so sick. I was excited. I was stoked. It was amazing. So, there's a lot of high points with Aquaman that I really enjoyed and that I really could see how people enjoyed it as much as they did. So, if you haven't seen it already in the theaters, go check it out. It's tons of fun. It's a great film. It's a fun movie. Jason Momoa did great as he did great as Aquaman. And it's money well spent. I would definitely say it is money well spent. So I definitely advise you to go check it out. It is surprising that it did surpass Dark Knight Rises. I am surprised by that. So yeah, that's what that is.
So I was having a phone conversation with one of my dear friends, Kaya, and we were talking about children. And I told her it actually stemmed from, you know, I told her about my podcast for the first time, what it was, how I did it, and everything. And she gave me the idea of talking about kids. And, you know, I thought it was a good subject because me being a dad myself and having my own kids, you know, I love kids. I mean, I love kids. I love good kids. Okay, and I've talked about this before, I think, on some previous episodes. But I love kids. Kids are amazing. They're funny. They're honest. They are straight up. They're straightforward. But sometimes, boy, sometimes you meet some children, you know, and you'd be wondering, and this is, and before I get started, this is not to make fun of anyone or anyone who has children that are, you know, genuinely autistic or have some kind of mental disabilities or anything like that. But sometimes when you look at your kids or somebody else's kids, boy, the stuff they do, you'd be wondering, is that baby touched? Are they on the spectrum? You gotta wonder. You know, I wondered that with my kids sometimes. You know, sometimes he'll be one of the things, he'll do some crazy stuff. One time he come, I'm sitting in the living room, watching television. All of a sudden, 15 minutes, he walks out. He's like, "Dad, Dad." I'm like, "What, Jay?" He's like, "Dad." I'm like, "Come here, what's wrong?" And he walks out. This boy looks like a snowman because he sat up in his room and put on as many t-shirts as he could. And he looked like a big old walking t-shirt snowman. And he's waddling out of the room. Like, He barely walk and hold himself up with his arms straight out to the side. Just like, ah, I can't move. I can't get out. He was like, I want to say he was like, what, seven? At 6 or 7 at the time. This boy, I laughed so hard. But at the same time, I just wonder, it's like, what is he doing? Does boredom really do that to children? Like, you know, I look at him and I'm just like, I wonder if this boy's special. I mean, he's got something up there that ain't right all the way. You know? The boy had 23 t-shirts on. I don't know how he did it. I have no idea how he did it. He had 23 t-shirts on. And I had to help him take them off. We just count them as just take them off. I mean, they were all different sizes too. Big, little, small. I mean, I know stuff was cutting off of circulation. I was surprised his head wasn't turning purple. I mean, it was just crazy. I've known some other children, but they walk around. There's this one kid that I knew, little strange kid. He would walk around. He thought it was cute. He would walk around, look at you dead in your face, and run into stuff. And I'm looking at this boy like, what in the world is wrong with you? Like, why would you do that? And he'd just be laughing. So just, wow. Just like, I'm like, and look, and what was the scariest part about it wasn't the fact that he just ran into a wall. It was the fact that he would look you dead in your face while he was doing it. He was just like, suss us up, bam. And I'm like, this boy got some special people inside of him. I don't know. He influenced by something, forced him to do this stuff. And we want to tell their parents. And so that's where the big question lies. If you see somebody's kids doing crazy stuff and you think they special, I mean, is it appropriate to say something? Like, how would you even broach that subject? You're like, yeah, we're talking about our kids. But yeah, so, I'm just curious. Your son, do you know that they, you know, your son, you know, just looked me dead in his face and he threw himself into a wall. I'm pretty sure he has an aneurysm or some kind of brain injury. Hemorrhaged somewhere. You know, have you looked at that? Like, have you talked to him about it? You know, how do you broach that without telling him the child is maybe retarded? You know, how do you do that? Not to say retarded is a strong word. I don't mean it in that way. But, I mean, that's just kind of one of the things you just be like, your child is special. How do you say that without offending parents? Oh, you know, he's expressing his creativity. He's expressing himself. You know, you get parents that like that. Now they're expressing themselves. Their individuality. You miss me with all that. Your child just blasts himself up against the wall. Or this boy's walking around kicking people in the shins and think it's okay. You know, he's about to get rocked. He's about to get a shin that kicks back. You know, you know, how do you do that? Parents are so sensitive now. You know, have you guys ever had that? A weird kid that has done some crazy stuff and you're just like, what? How in the, who? You know, how do you deal with that? How do you broach that? You know, it's a sensitive subject. It's a sensitive subject. I've seen many kids do a bunch of crazy things. Crazy things. And at the end of the day, I know none of these kids are on the spectrum. None of them are mentally challenged in any way. But I've just come to this realization that at the end of the day, kids are dumb. Kids are stupid. They can't help it. They haven't learned anything. So that's why parents are here. That's why we're here to teach them. Look, you don't blast yourself up against the wall in front of people. You know, you don't walk up to kids. You don't walk up, you know, to grown people, you know, and tell them that the breath stinks. It's funny. It's hilarious, but it's also disrespectful. You know, you don't, you know, you don't do that. You know, you can't, you know. Now, that doesn't give us as adults the right to just let our kids suffer. If we got breath that smelled like hot fire dragon booty, we can't just keep breathing in the face and force them not to say nothing. We've got to be cognizant of their reactions, their emotions, and, you know, their facial features and their gestures. You know, we've got to be aware and discern when we're harming this child in this way. You know, we got to do that. And then remove ourselves from the situation. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. Show that we care. Show that we care. You know, kids can be brutal. I mean, kids can be brutal. Kids can be Kids mostly, though, are hilarious. Kids are funny. Again, I've had some of the funniest times with my son when he was a little boy. I mean, now he's a dang teenager, which is a whole nother traumatic experience in and of itself. But, you know, was a little boy, he did some crazy, stupid, dumb stuff that I just had me rolling. And I would always kind of question, like, is my son a little special? You know, is he there on the spectrum? Is he like a beautiful mind? You know, I kind of wondered that. You know, is he Rain Man? You know, because I'd be waiting for him to just bow, hit himself on the head, pop back up, and be like, you know what? Yeah, I want to have some lollipops. Yeah, definitely lollipops. I want to have 352 flavors of lollipops in the world. You know, blow pops, Tootsie Roll pops. I was expecting him to totally wake up and just go full Rain Man. You know. On it. You know, you just don't know. You don't know. I know you guys have people that you know whose kids you've seen do some crazy stuff. Shoot me some emails. Shoot me some stories, because I'm going to go back to this and I'm going to share this in my other segment, which is Say Bruh segment of a show, and totally go in on it, because, you know, I know I can't be the only one to enjoy kids and the stuff that they do. And have you had a situation where you're talking with somebody's, you know, a kid's parents, and you're looking at them like, hey, I think your kid might be a little off mentally. I think, you know, have you ever had to do that? If you have had the conversation, if you've had the audacity to have it, how did that go? I'm curious. Did it go well? You know, all those little things. I'm curious. So shoot me an email, thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Hit me up on Instagram with a message, with a DM. Slide in my DMs that way. Or on Twitter, StuffIDW. Let me know what you guys have gone through and have seen to make you question, you know, our children. You know, because this is our next generation. Okay, that terrified me. When that little boy ran himself into that wall, it terrified me, because I was like, this kid right here, who just gave himself a full-on brain injury, you know, he's gonna be serving my food, running this country, or something down the line. And I'm scared. I really am scared. I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. So let me know what you guys have come across and how you've handled those situations. Have you dealt with it with grace? Or did you just kind of just let it go and just kind of hope for the best, hoping that everything would turn out all right for the Pope baby? You know? So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit me up.
If I could tell you the amount of times I didn't see people do that same exact thing, I'd be a millionaire. I tell you what. Well, maybe not a millionaire, like a thousandaire, at least. That is an unfortunate reality. I hope you don't mind, Cece, if you listen to this, for me, you know, taking your clip from Instagram, because it was such gold. I had to take that recording and put it on the show, because what you said was, I'm sure, the thoughts of so many people, and you was able to articulate it without using without getting too ham about it, which is cool. So, you know, I appreciate that. So I hope you don't mind me using your post as a contribution to this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. Yeah, there's people that should not have driver's licenses. There are people who just should not be on the road, because they are a danger to themselves, the people around them, their families, and mankind in general. They should be ticketed and their licenses revoked. I have some personal opinions on drivers. You know, there's certain people who I think should be given physical drive tests every single year. I think they should be given written tests every single year. You know, there's, you know, I have my own personal opinions. And these are opinions before I started working for the state, the DMV. Now that I work there, oh, most definitely, my opinions on that have increased tenfold. Okay? So, yeah, there's people that should not be there driving. They don't have the right. They should not. That right should be. It's, driving is not a right. It's a privilege. And there's some people who should have that privilege revoked. Okay? Because it is ridiculous the way people drive out there. And what CeCe was talking about with the whole, you know, they switching lanes, slowly easing over into your lane, right? And then almost hit you. And then they realize they jerk back over into their lane. And you looking at them like, hey, you messed up. You honking. And all of a sudden, they look at you like, what? You know, and they be all like, man, stay out of my lane, bro. Like, you almost hit me. It's like, dude, you swerved over into my lane. Okay, and almost hit me. Okay, don't do that. Don't act like you're a victim. Don't do that. You don't know how to drive. You weren't paying attention. You were on your phone. Okay? You know, scrolling the texts that you were looking at. And you got caught. And now you're embarrassed. So you got to act like you're a victim. Okay, that's what happened. Okay? So, you need to calm down. Another big driving pet peeve. Oh, man. And let me know if some of you guys relate to this. Okay. General rule is this. When you're about to merge on a freeway, on a highway, freeway, whatever, on the road, when you're merging, you are supposed to speed up. Don't match my speed. Don't match my speed when you see me coming. Okay? And then don't slow down. What are you doing? You're supposed to speed up, and you're supposed to be going in front of me. Okay? You're supposed to be speeding up so you can get in front of me and use your signal. Use your signal. Left click, left lane, click, left signal, click, 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 and you ease on in. And when I see the signal come on, guess what I do? I ease up just a little bit so I can be courteous and give you a little bit of space. Not too much when I'm slowing down enough to back up traffic or mess up the dude behind me, but just enough to let you squeeze in. But I can only do that if you speed up enough for you to get in front of me with ample room and space. Don't match my speed, and don't slow down. And don't match my speed and then all of a sudden try to ram me off playing bumper cars like we're at the county fair. I don't play that. Okay? Stop it. Okay? That's not okay. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. That's not what we're here for. Okay? Learn to drive. Learn to drive. There was one time I was driving on the road and I saw somebody. In fact, it was today. I don't understand sometimes what people see when they're driving. They're sitting there at the light, or they're about to approach the light, and they have they're right in front of me in the other lane, and they're turning. They have the arrow to turn. I don't know how this happened. Okay, but this person's driving down the road, smashing, slows down just enough to turn, and wow, hits the stick curb in the turn lane where the light is, and almost clips the light where they're at. How do you do that? You know, what are you doing to where you're totally misjudging the distance between your car and the curb? Like, is there, like, what are you? Like, why are you here? Why are you driving? You know, if you can't measure distance from when you're driving, you don't deserve the drive. I remember my mom told me, she's all, because when I was about 15 or 16, I said, Mom, I want to drive. I want to drive my own car. I want freedom. Mom, yeah. She's like, no, car's a weapon. The car's a dangerous weapon. It's worse than a loaded gun. I'm like, looking at my mom like, you know, you always got to take things so far. You're so extreme. Mom, you know, you can't just, a car is not a weapon. It isn't. It's a motor vehicle that gets you from point A to point A. It ain't no weapon. It doesn't kill people unless you just go out to hurt people and hit people. But it's not a weapon, though. That's a little extreme. Nah, she was absolutely right. Because I've seen some stupid people out there wielding that vehicle like a weapon. It is ridiculous. And I've seen some crazy accidents happen with those people on the road. You know, where you're driving on the highway and you get that dude that's behind you that rides your bumper. Okay, you're already going above the speed limit. You're already eligible to get a ticket. Okay, because the flow of traffic is about, generally on 65, flow of traffic is about 70 to 72 miles, right? On a 65 lane, that's the flow of traffic. If you're going the flow of traffic, it's okay. Air quotes happening here, okay? So you're going to flow of traffic, but you got that one dude that wants to go 90, and he decides to go in the far right lane and go 80 and 90 miles an hour, and it starts riding you because he wants you to go because he doesn't want to go around, you know, it's like, bruh, like, you need to go around. You need to go around. And our natural tendency is to do what? Hit our brakes and slow down. Because if you hit me, it's automatically your fault, right? No, we can't do that. Don't do that. Okay? But then, and then all of a sudden, they go around and swerve, smash past you, and they go in front of you and drive off like they did something. You know? You know? It's like, stop. You didn't do nothing special. You need to calm the heck down. Like, cut it out. You didn't prove nothing. You just proved that you shouldn't be on the road. Okay? And my favorite thing that kind of gives me joy, all those dudes that do that, right? And they're not paying attention to the road in front of them. You know, they're not forecasting when they're driving, which means they're looking down the road and looking at the conditions of the road, which is also what you should be doing when you're driving. So they're not paying attention to the traffic jam or the traffic that's there. So, you know, they're riding your bumper and they're just focused on you driving so slow and you pumping your brakes and slowing down. They're mad. So they're, you know, go around, you know, speed past you like, run past you, flipping you to bird. And then all of a sudden, there's traffic right in front and they got to stop. Funny. It's like, see, that's what you get because you're dumb. You're dumb. You shouldn't be driving. You don't know any better. You're ridiculous. You know, and then you turn and you give them that look as you drive by. You know, on your right side of the lane, you know, through traffic while they're stopped or super slowing down and they're just mad in the car. Just like, you know, throwing their hands up, like, giving you the bird, like, what? You know, I love that. That's funny to me. Yeah. But yeah, there are definitely people out there that don't deserve to wield that weapon. I agree wholeheartedly. And they should not be driving. So I'm sure you guys have your stories of people that have been driving crazy. I like to hear them on the tweets and on the Facebooks. So leave your comments. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know of your experiences. If you've seen any crazy accidents, let me know. I think those would make some interesting stories. I'd love to hear from you guys. I might actually go back and do an episode on that, just, you know, to talk about you guys' crazy stories and things that you've seen when driving. Because, again, it's crazy out there, y'all. You know, people drive crazy when it starts raining. I really think a chemical imbalance happens when it starts raining because people just start driving dumb in the rain. And it's funny, it's because they either drive super slow because they're trying to be super cautious, or they drive super fast because they're trying to get out of the rain faster, thus making it more dangerous. You know, it's like your line of reasoning is flawed. Don't do that. You know, calm down, drive normal. You should be, you know, just taking your time. You'll get there. So people don't get that. That's why during rains and weather and stuff, bad weather, accidents go up when it rains, when it storms and all that stuff. People try to get out of there in a hurry, not being patient, thinking about themselves. You see that? See that? See what happens? Love and respect are not acknowledged. People get hurt. Period. All day. That's what happens. So, anyways, love to hear what you guys got. Love to hear what you guys say about that, okay? That is going to wrap it up for this week on this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I really, really, really appreciate you guys sticking it out for this long. Thank you for those of you who have been loyally listening. And all over the world, Bangladesh, UK, here in America, out in the Bay Area, yay! All you guys who are out there listening, your local people, love you guys very much for listening. And again, let's keep making this thing bigger. Until next week's episode, I will catch y'all on the flip side. You guys take care. Have a great rest of the week. Take care, guys. Deuces. So now we're going to move into another segment of our show called Dumb Stuff from the Internet. This is an idea that I got that I straight up gaffled. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to own it. From a podcast I listen to called One Giant Leap for Geeks. Big shouts to you guys. Love you guys for this. But they talked about something on the recent episode that I had to... It was too good. It couldn't have been real.
It couldn't have been real. So supposedly you can get married at Taco Bell for $600. Now, I went ahead and I went and listened to their segment on their show, and it was too absurd for me, and I had to go ahead and find it myself. Okay. I had to, you know, do this research on myself. So I went on the internet, looked up Taco Bell wedding, and I came across the blog. Actually, this is actually pretty old news, but it's amazing how it didn't get as much play as it did. So I found it on a blog from people.com, and the article back in 2017, actually. So article starts and says, "Nothing says romance like crunch wraps and hot sauce in plastic pouches. On Tuesday morning, Taco Bell announced some incredible news. Just in time for Valentine's Day, fans now have the opportunity to get married at its Las Vegas Cantina flagship restaurant. The restaurant, which actually has a wedding chapel, will offer a wedding package complete with a Taco Bell garter, bow tie, sauce packet, wedding bouquet, Just Married t-shirts, Taco Bell champagne flutes, and a Cinnabon Delights wedding cake. But it gets more romantic. Newlyweds will be treated to a 12 taco pack for their very first meal as a couple. $600 for some tacos, a t-shirt, a crunchy cake, and it's not even a cake, really. It's a crunch. I don't even know what to call them swirly things. Yes, they're delicious on their own in a bag, but not as a cake. What are you doing? You know, how broke you gotta be? This can't be real. This can't be this, and it's not okay. It's not okay. You know, as a man, you know, I intend on getting married again. This would never cross my mind as a secondary opportunity to get married. Baby, I don't care if my girl like Taco Bell. Hey, girl, you like Taco Bell, right? So, I got an idea. How about we switch it up a little bit? You know, I was thinking of doing a little different when we head off to Vegas. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Elvis is going to marry us off. No, we're not going to do that. You know me, baby. I think outside the box. Ding. And how about we go get married at Taco Bell, girl? Listen, I would expect my ex-fiance at that point to immediately end the relationship and or put in divorce papers that aren't. And we ain't even married yet. And she gave me divorce papers. I would totally expect that. I'd have to bow out and be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I deserve that. My bad. I'm sorry. You know, I deserve to be alone. Because you do. If you think marrying at Taco Bell is a good thing, you got issues. It's not cool. It's not okay. And then let's stop talking about that. How about we have a conversation about the guests? You know, you get to bring 12 of your closest friends with you. First off, if my friend ever decided to get married at a Taco Bell cantina, okay, I'm all about fun adventures, okay? But as a friend, as a concerned friend, and a good friend, and a loyal friend, I'm going to do all that I can to strongly suggest against getting married at a Taco Bell. Number two, if for some reason I do go, our friendship's going to be ended. Let me tell you something. Taco Bell is known to give you the runs, okay? And any person, any, quote, friend that will purposefully give you the runs outside of a prank war is not a friend. Doesn't care about you, doesn't care about the relationship. Obviously doesn't care about the relationship with his wife to get her married at a Taco Bell. He even more so doesn't care about your friendship, because now you're going to be running around, you know, with the runs and fire booty the whole time. Not cool. I really have to seriously reevaluate my friendship with this person. You know, we can't do that. We cannot have that. And it's tacky and it's unclassy. A bouquet made of hot sauce packets. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a fan of the hot sauce packets. Why? Because they have cool little messages on them. Yeah, you could use them to flirt with girls if you're super corny. You know, they have little neat little sayings on them. But to give that to a girl and be like, here, these are your flowers, when deep down she wanted hydrangeas ever since she was 5 years old. Not cool. Again, what are you doing? You know, you obviously don't take marriage seriously. That's just how I spin that, you know. And, you know, I know people that love Taco Bell. Okay, I do. They love Taco Bell. They eat it every day if they can. They think it's real Mexican food. That is more power to you. Not judging those who love to eat at Taco Bell. OK, Okay. For me, I only eat at Taco Bell when situations and times are really dire, tight, and heated. No pun intended. Okay. But, you know, that's the only time I'll touch a Taco Bell, you know, because generally Taco Bell and my stomach don't agree. Okay. But, you know, but to get married there, ain't no love for nothing gonna ever get me to get married there. Look, I love Superman. You know, I love the Power Rangers. Ain't no way in this world if a Dragonzord opened up and you could get married inside of a Dragonzord, am I going to tell my wife, be like, hey, girl, let's go get married inside the Dragonzord. That's a no-go. You know, you got to have boundaries, okay? That's not going to happen. We're not going to get married inside the Dragonzord. Now, I don't mind if we have a honeymoon, you know, there, and you take me to a park or something like that, and I get to ride the Dragonzord. That's a different story. But I'm not going to get married in there, okay? That's just something you don't do, just as a man. So, reading on in the article, a couple had entered into a contest for Taco Bell, and they won the contest. And their first meal as a couple is a 12-pack of tacos. First off, 12-pack of tacos, that's it? Nah, bruh. If I win this, you're going to give me Taco Bell for life, especially if I'm a Taco Bell lover, okay? You're going to give me that for life. I'm not going to sit here and just eat 12 packs of tacos, and we call it good as a so-called memory and a t-shirt. Not going to do that. You're going to give me Taco Bell forever, okay? I'm not going to sit here and promote your brand, and you pick me, and then I just get 12 tacos out of this and a so-called unforgettable wedding. Yeah, it's unforgettable. Yeah, for sure, because my wife will be forgetting me at the altar, straight up, hands down. And then I got another question. Who in the world is officiating this thing, you know? Who's going to officiate it? You go up to the counter, You order the wedding like it's a bell menu item. You're like, can I get the number 6 wedding, please, for $600? You know, with the 12 taco box and the wedding and the taco packets. Can I have that? I mean, how can you go up in a Taco Bell and order that with a straight face? And then it says 4 hours later, you get to go inside and then they'll have the wedding for you. So who's the officiant? Who, Al Pastor? I mean, what is that? Yeah, that was a pun. And I don't care. I said that shamelessly. Because that person who got married at the Taco Bell has way more shame than I do for that pun, okay? Straight up. So that's just ridiculous. That's dumb. I would never do that. What do you guys think? Is getting married at a Taco Bell stupid? I think so. Leave me some comments on this. Leave some comments on Instagram, my emails, Twitters, all of it. Let me know what you think, please. Because this is dumb. Ew.
In my day job, I work full-time, 9-to-5, for the state, DMV, and it has been quite an enlightening, fun experience. I actually really like the job, and one of the things that I've already quickly realized is that most of y'all people out here are crazy. Okay, y'all, I don't know what y'all's problem is, but yeah, it's crazy, the stuff that, the stories that I had heard. I was there 3 weeks and already kind of lost hope in humanity. I realized very quickly that most adults are just teenagers that get stuck at about 16 years old, have children and pay bills, and that's an unfortunate truth. I immediately started and was like, you know what? I'm never going to be one of these people. I'm going to be so responsible. Oh my God. The excuses I heard from people. I kid you not. I've had people already yell at me, cuss me out, call me names. One of my favorite ones. This is a bureaucracy. This is a ploy by the government to take my money. And to do us all wrong, and I hate it, and I hate you guys for it, blaming me like I'm the one who made up the DMV. Like, yeah, I'm sitting behind a table, or behind the counter, sitting down at this computer. Yep, that was me. It was all my fault. I create the DMV. I'm that dude. DMV don't really mean Department of Motor Vehicles. It means that monkey inventing or something. I don't know what it means, but it means. y'all be thinking that we are the ones who just cause your pain, and it is ridiculous. You know what's funny? I was never forget one of my very first times. People come into the DMV. Again, as you guys know, if you guys listen to my podcast, I do not like people who feel entitled, who feel like that they could just come in because either they have a lot of money or they got some kind of privilege, or they just woke up on one side of the bed thinking that, you know what, I ruled this piece today. So I'm going to go to the DMV and I'm going to go ahead and just tell them what I'm going to do today. And that's going to happen. You know, they're going to listen to me. You know, I really sincerely believe people wake up in the morning just wanting to get the next snap or choked or something. Because they'd be like, you know what, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to just go to the DMV and harass the person at the front door. You know, and anybody who works behind that counter, whoever's working behind that counter today is getting it. And I'm making it my life's mission to make that happen. I really think that's what some of you people do sometimes. You know, I really do. I had a person come in, it was one of my, I want to say it was the first or second week that I started. And he comes in, I go in and I look up his information, and you know, there's certain information that we're not allowed to give out, okay? We're not allowed to give it out to you, especially if it's not yours to have. So this guy's sitting there, it's, you know, comes up to the window, straggling, swagging out, walking up there. Hey there, brother. First off, don't call me brother. I don't know you, okay? This is a white dude, too. So we're definitely not brothers in that aspect. Then don't call me brother because I don't know you, okay? So that's where he already messed up twice, okay? Hey there, brother. So this is what I'm doing. I'm coming here to get this information, and I need to find out this. So take the information he has, type it up on my computer, click it, click, 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 click. Okay, sir. Got here. Looks like this doesn't belong to you, sir. Unfortunately, I can't give you that information. Well, yeah, you can go ahead and give me the information. I got the information right here. I give it to you. You know, I have the rights to the information. Actually, sir, no, you don't. You don't own the vehicle, thus can't give you any information. Okay, if I do, that's going to be my job, so I can't do that. Well, make it your job to do that. As soon as he said that to me, y'all, I remember distinctly, I sat back in my chair, I folded my hands, and gave him a look, and immediately he was like, well, you know what I mean. I mean, you know, I just really need the information. And I looked at him calm and I said, sir, I will not and will never give you somebody else's information for your own personal gain. And I'm not going to lose my job over something that you want because you feel you have the right to have it, especially if it does not belong to you. If you need information, you need to work harder in order to get it yourself, sir. Okay? I will not be providing that information to you. It's funny because this has happened to me a few times where people have, biggest pet peeve of mine, people will say something to me and then I'll start explaining something, they'll ask a question and then they interrupt me. Don't interrupt me when I'm talking, when I'm trying to help you out and answer your question. What are you doing? Don't do that. When people do that, I mean, just stop talking, just glare at them. Just glare at you. And then they're talking and talking and talking, and then they all of a sudden abruptly stop, and then I don't say nothing. And then there's that odd, awkward silence that happens, that 5 seconds. And I keep the silence, too. I don't break it. And it always ends up, well, you know what I mean. And then I look at them, are you finished? Okay, I'm trying to give you the information, and I want to help you. But in order for you to do that, you need to let me speak so I can help you out. I remember one time one of my partners walked by and was like, man, Ian, you looked at that dude like he was going to rip his head off. Apparently, there's some kind of look that I give to people where I'll look at them a certain way and immediately change their tune. I'm waiting for somebody from my job to, like, record it or something, because I kind of want to see what this look is. Because when I give it to them, you know, they make a complete 180, and it's hilarious. It's just funny how they automatically all of a sudden just flip the script on everything. Hilarious. Excuses I've heard so far, people not paying a registration because One dude came in, said, "Hey man, hey, I can't. I didn't pay my registration. Can I get some fees waived? You know, I want to get some fees waived because, you know, my girlfriend, she, you know, it's my ex-girlfriend. She didn't give me the mail." I was like, "Well, sir, I'm sorry. I can't, you know, apologize. I can't waive fees if, you know, that's the case. You know, on your registration it shows when your vehicle's registration is due every single year. It's been that way for the last couple of years. You know, I can't waive your fees for that." And then all of a sudden he changed the story. He's all, "Yeah, my girlfriend took my mail." You know, at first she didn't give it to him. Now she's like, "Oh, my girlfriend took my mail, you know, and she dumped it in the water, you know, so I couldn't get it." I'm like, "What?" When I say, "First your girlfriend had your mail, wouldn't give it to you. Now you say she put it in the water." "Yeah, man, could you please, you know, waive the fees just this one time?" I said, "You know what? Let me go talk to the manager." We went and talked to the manager, right? I told the manager, man, I was like, "Nah." And I went to the top manager too. And they were like, "No, we're not waiving his fees." So I go back to the guy and I'm like, "Hey man, I'm sorry, you know. So like I thought, you know, they're not gonna waive your fees, unfortunately, I apologize. You know, okay, can I speak to another manager, please?" Like I think this guy thought the more managers he talked to, the more opportunities he would have to get his fees waived, which sometimes actually works, but he talked to another manager and then we found out, and when that manager, the supervisor actually, found out that the main manager said no, you know, she didn't go back on that, you know, she didn't override it. That dude was so mad, he had to pay all $1,300. It really wasn't $1,300, but it was a lot of money to him. Because, you know, if you got to pay more than $50 at the DMV, you know, people be acting like you're taking their life savings away from them. You know, just be more responsible with your registration and your bills. It won't seem like so much. But, yeah, he was so mad. He was upset. So the dude leaves, right? I had a person that works right next to me, the window next to me. She leaned over. She's like, "Man, that dude be asking for fees waived every single year." I was like, "Are you serious?" As soon as she said that to me, I realized what I got myself into, what kind of shenanigans I've opened myself up to, and what kind of adventures I was possibly going to be having at this job. Hilarious. Hilarious. You got some rude customers that come in. My favorites are the ones that just want to come in and complain and cause a ruckus for just no apparent reason. Okay, no reason. We had a customer a while ago, a few days ago, just come in, you know, "Hey, look at the line. The line is so big and long. I'm not standing in that line. I'm not doing that, la, 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 cursing and making a scene, being loud." And we're just looking at people like seriously, I kind of want to ask you guys, if there's some of you out there listening to this podcast right now, what does that do for you? Does that make you feel powerful? Like, what does that do? And you know what? I'm going to take the focus away from them sometimes. I'm going to turn around to the rest of us. When we go in, act a little rambunctious every once in a while because we get salty. I admit, I get a little salty sometimes. There's days when I get a little miffed, you know? I get a little salty. I clown on everybody, you know? I'm a little bitter. I get a little down or something like that. You know, I just woke up on the wrong side of bed. I should be slapped. You know what I'm saying? I'm that dude who should get my neck snapped. You know, I created an alter ego for myself. I call myself Mr. Dash because I'm so salty. You know, when Mr. Dash comes out, that's when the salt happens. You know, I mean, I admit sometimes when I get in that mode, I feel a little like, you know, I shouldn't be doing that, but I do. And it's like, okay, I feel a little bit better, but, you know, I'm kind of assuming that maybe that's what those people do, but they take it to an extreme. And they think because we're state workers, you know, we're just like their emotional punching bag. You know, they just dish it to it just like, oh my goodness. I really think we should start taking tips at our desk. We're not allowed to take bribes or anything like that. But I almost kind of want to put in a petition to have at least a tip jar. You know, for every personal problem you tell me or every ridiculous excuse, you got to put in a dollar. And I'm only saying a dollar because it's the state. It's expensive. Usually it'd be quarters, but it's a dollar. You know, the stories people tell about everything that's going on. And some of these stories, not legit, are pretty sad. You know, the one that's kind of, I'm kind of questioning, though, is the cancer excuse. And I'm not discounting anybody with cancer. I got people, you know, who are close to me with that issue. But it seems like it's used a lot. And it's like when you're using life, and what bothers me is that when you're using life experiences to not be responsible, that's when it bothers me. Okay, don't do that. Don't use your life situation as an excuse not to do what you're supposed to do or not to be a responsible adult. Please, don't do that. Okay, that makes me lose respect for you. Okay, let's not do that. This is a job where, you know, I do want to help people win wherever I can, you know, when I've done it. And we all, when we work there, if, you know, generally good people want to help out. But I think this is, you know, the way people are and how they come at us, I think is the reason why most people who work at the DMV seem so soulless and without a personality. I had a Army veteran gentleman came up to me the other day, because there's days where I'm just like, you know what, I don't want to hear it, and it shows in my face. I don't want to hear your excuses. I don't want to hear nothing. And I have this, you know, real serious face that I put on where I'm just all about business, you know. Let's go. Hey, how are you doing? How am I help you today? Give me the paper. You know, just on point. Dude's like, yo, young man, you know, you're on your point. You mean business. You seem like you're military. You know, I was like, no, I was never in the military, sir. Okay, well, it looks like you mean business. You know, you don't smile. You don't. Now, everybody who knows me outside of work, even inside of work, I'm the fool at work. I'm the one who makes everybody laugh. I try to keep it fun and vibrant and make it a good work environment. But sometimes when dealing with customers, you know, you just gotta keep going one at a time. You know, I got no time to be playing. I got no time to hear your excuses. You know, fill out your paperwork right, please. You know, I don't got time. But, you know, it seems like, you know, that's why, I think it's because of the people who come in on a daily basis expecting so much from us, and then when they don't get things their way, they start crying. Y'all, I have literally had people crying at the window because they couldn't get a fee waived, because they couldn't get $20 taken off a penalty. And they was late, you know, I didn't get my sticker. I didn't get my sticker in the mail. Okay. It shows you haven't paid your registration since 2008. It's 2019, so what's going on? Like, why are you here now? Well, I didn't get my sticker back then, and I never got anything in the mail. Well, that's because you didn't finish the process back in 2008, sir. That's what happened. I mean, what do you want to do? Oh, I want my fees waived. I want my fees waived, and I want everything taken back. It's like, well, I can't do that, sir. You know, it's not. You know what? You guys are something else. You guys take our money. You take our livelihoods. You've taken our jobs. You know, it's people like you. You know, it's like, and people just start going off, because they're like a responsibility. I'm just sitting there like, I sit back in my chair sometimes, just rocking, just be like, look at them, just like, are they serious right now? Adults really serious? You know, and it'd be their fault. They will literally come in. Y'all sometimes will literally come in 3 years later asking where your sticker is. Driving just all kinds of illegal. Riding dirty. Riding disgusting. Because you ain't got tags. You ain't got insurance. You ain't got none of that stuff. And then get mad at me and blame me like I'm the one who came over your house and did it. I ain't that dude. I'm sorry. I know you want to take it out on somebody, but I ain't him. I'm just like, what? And then the fits that people throw when they don't want to do something. You know what? The one thing about DMV, DMV loves paper forms. We do. We really do. We love making people fill out forms. You know, you come in and tell us that you want to switch a plate or that you got a car. Okay. For example, you come in and tell us that you got a gift from somebody. You got a new car and you got it as a gift. Okay? You'll come in with a piece of paper saying that it's a gift. We're like, hey, that's a nice sheet of paper. That's a beautifully handwritten letter. But we're going to pull out this form and have you fill it out. I personally think it's ridiculous, but hey, it's part of the process. That's what we do. We make you fill out a form for anything. If we can make you fill out a form for breathing inside the DMV office because you're breathing state air, we would. Okay? So, you know, we would. We got forms for everything. But let me tell you something, guys. Please, please, for the love of heaven, Lord, love and heart, and Jesus, Lord, look at God. Please, just listen and just do what we ask you to do. Okay? If we have you fill out 8 forms, do not come in there lazy. Okay? Okay? Don't come in there being lazy. The quicker you come in and do everything we ask you to do with no complaints, no nothing, and you fill it out all correctly and don't be lazy and fill out only what you want to because you don't feel like filling out forms, you make the process longer for yourself and you're in there longer than you got to be. You're already sitting in there for 3 or 4 hours. Okay, don't make it worse by not filling out everything you need to. Okay, and if you got questions, ask questions. Please, ask questions. Do it. Ask questions. Okay, but get it done right the first time. Because my biggest thing, if you've been sitting there, I'll give you some forms to fill out, okay? And then I have you go take a seat, and you come back up to me like 20 minutes later, and you've only got your name written on there, I'm throwing a conniption fit inside of my head. I can't show it to you physically, but I'm throwing glass. I'm hucking glass. I'm kicking rocks. You know, I'm doing all kinds of jacked up stuff. I done snapped your neck at least 50 times. You know, in my head, because you decide to sit there for 20 minutes and just write your name and not use your words and ask questions. You can't do that. You can't do that. Okay? And another thing, control your children. Control your children. Today in the DMV, had a girl at the counter. Her little baby was running around in the whole office. Next thing I know, this baby, I'm sitting there doing work. Next thing I know, I turn around. Baby's standing right next to me, looking at what I'm doing. Behind the counter. Because she didn't see her baby open the door and come around the back of the counter. She's like, what's that? Okay, real talk, I'm exaggerating. She didn't really come up next to me, but she sure did open the door and come to the back. She might as well have been next to me. Because my desk is right next to the door. Okay? But she was like right there. And she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. She comes in, grabs the child. Can I close the door? No, I want you to keep it open. Because I want a whole horde of children coming back here while I'm working. Let's liven the place up a bit. Let's make this place more kid friendly. Let's bring all the kids back here. Leaving Neverland, go to the DMV. Like, no, of course I want you to close the door. Like, seriously? Why are you asking me that question? Control your kids, please. Stop them from screaming. Okay, you got disabled people in there. You got people, you know, with PTSD. You got people with mental issues in there. You got handicapped people. You got elderly people. You got people that's just tired. You got people that's sick and tired. You know, the last thing they need is that dadgum child running around screaming. Control your kids. Control your kids. Don't have them running around places, please. Don't do that. Do not do that. Okay. Oh, and another thing, bring money to DMV. Okay. We're not trying to take your money from you. We're not trying to take your livelihood. Okay. We're not trying to take your hard-earned cash. But yes, we are taking your hard-earned cash, so bring it. Okay, if you pay a registration, you're doing all that, bring your cash. Don't come inside and be like, oh, I didn't bring no money. You didn't waste all your time. Why are we here? Why are we here? And this, Lord, do not, and okay, and this goes for anybody that is listening to this. If you, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, and I'm pleading with all of you, okay? If you go into the DMV, do not do this. Do not come into the DMV without none of your information about your vehicle and tell us where we can look it up. You come into, for example, you walk into the DMV, you've been sitting there for 3 hours. Then you walk up to the window and you throw your paper at us and then you say, oh, hi, how can we help you today? Oh, I need registration. Okay, what's your license plate number? I don't have it. What do you mean you don't have it? That right there is an immediate, oh, Ooh. First you say, I don't have it, and then you're like, look it up in the computer. You can look me up in the computer. First off, no. Okay? No, actually, first off, your attitude. Second off, no. We don't do that. Okay? It doesn't go like that. You don't get to come here, come inside my house, grind your heels in my couch, and tell me how I'm gonna do my job. You don't get to do that, okay? Please, first off, it's rude. Don't do that. You need to come to the DMV prepared. You need to bring your information. You need to bring money to pay for your stuff. Okay? And you need to come there with a nice demeanor, because trust me, it's your demeanor that rubs off on us, that makes us act the ways that we do. Yes, we can choose the way we act. I try the majority of the time to choose the way I act with people. But when you start getting disrespectful and ridiculous, that's when we change into different people. Don't do that. When you come to the DMV, prepare. Just be prepared. Okay, if you don't know everything, ask questions. Use your words. That's all. We're asking, please. God, like, is that hard? No. Bring everything. Bring everything. If you need to bring the little piece of paper that you wrote a price tag on that you think that might do, bring that. Bring it. Bring it. We'd rather you have more stuff that you don't need than have nothing at all and then chuck a paper at us telling us what we need to do. No, that's worth 100 neck snaps. Slack, clack, 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 clack. I mean, all day in our heads. We didn't went through like 100 of those in our head as we're glaring at you. You know, at the same time, in disbelief that you came to this place with nothing. You know? So, anyways, that's enough of my DMV rant, my stories. Story time. I meant to say more stories, but those of you who work, maybe who are listening to this podcast, if you work for the state, work at the DMV, or if you work in any other state job or federal job, whatever it is, I would love to hear your experiences. If you're on Anchor, leave me a recording. I'd love to hear that and hear about your experiences. If you're a customer of one of these places and you learned something today, please let me know. If you've made these mistakes, if you're one of the people I talked about, let me know. I like to hear from you guys too. I love you outside of work. In this forum, I love you. We're free. We're all good. Just don't come in my office acting crazy, you know? But I'd like to hear from you guys too. Any experiences that you guys have. You know, you can post them also on Instagram as well, on Twitter, wherever you like. But I'd love to hear from you guys, because I want to get some feedback on this. If you agree with me. If you don't, cool. If you do, holler at me, please. All right. Anyways, so thanks so much for listening, and we'll move on to our next segment.
You are listening to the Best of the Stuff podcast show. Be sure to join us back here again on July 7th for season 4 of the Stuff podcast show. Make sure you listen and subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify.